Lord, we understand and believe that the entrance of your word gives light. And so, Lord, as we together here and over the way think about the Bible and think about your call upon our lives, we pray that you will help us to hear, give us ears to hear, and obedient hearts. We thank you for the children and pray a special blessing on them today. Help them in their young lives to understand that Jesus calls them to, and that they can be obedient to him, even as us adults can consider our obedience to Jesus and following him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm bringing the fourth talk in our series, Who We Are. It's a kind of refresher course about the purpose, mission, core values and vision that Westfield has adopted. If you want to see the actual document that many of us agreed to a while back, it's there. There are even signatures on that. If you want to see it, go and have a look afterwards. Feel free. When JJ wrote to the teachers about this series, he said, "I see it as a reminder for people of who we are as a church, what we've affirmed together as our purpose, mission, values and vision, and our strategy towards this." He added, "I would love us to show what the scriptures have to say about these values and challenging us how these things connect with what we do not do as a people and as a church." Last week, you may remember JJ spoke about the second core value, loving one another. Do you remember that? Do you remember anything that struck you? One thing that struck me was he said that loving one another as Christians includes keeping one another in check. And he suggested that the one-to-one groups are a good environment where that kind of love can be expressed. But today I'm going to speak about our core value, becoming more like Jesus. If we think for a moment, we can see how that value is closely related to our mission to make passionate disciples of Jesus and our vision of the gospel transforming the lives of those around us, not to forget our purpose of bringing glory to God. In the passage Nicole just read, Paul was encouraging his readers to have the same attitude as the Lord Jesus. He's saying, copy Jesus. And in order to do that, we have to pay attention to him, to learn from him. Jesus, in fact, tells us that himself. Here's an important thing. Jesus cares about you. He cares about you. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourselves, but possibly somebody here, one or two, maybe four or five, this morning, haven't a care in the world. But on the other hand, I think the majority of us, many of us, even most of us, are here carrying some kind of burden, whether light or heavy. Burden of sadness, of worry, of guilt, of rejection, of sin. Listen to what Jesus says, his kind promise, if you come to him, in Matthew 11, 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our Saviour Jesus is gently calling you today, promising rest in his family. What's preventing you saying, "Oh yes, please"? If you haven't already done so, there's a moment to do it right now. I hope you notice that the rest Jesus offers involves enjoying his company in our daily life and learning from him in partnership, working alongside him. It's unavoidable because we're joined with him by a yoke. Joined in that yoke, we learn from seeing him alongside us, hearing him, and walking at his pace. And the yoke doesn't chafe when we learn to copy him, to be like him. In the passage, Jesus is making a contrast between the heavy burdens that the religious leaders of the day placed on their followers and the life that flows from following him. The yoke of Jesus is light and easy to carry because it is the yoke of repentance and faith followed by a singular commitment to follow him. As the Apostle John says in 1 John 5, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. So our Christian service is more comfortable, more effective, if we become more like Jesus, if we copy him, share his yoke, keep in step. Yes, it may involve suffering or opposition in company with Jesus, but that shouldn't take us by surprise. In his first letter, Peter says, chapter 2, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And in Romans 8, Paul says, the purpose that the Holy Spirit brings people who love him into the family of God is for him to go on making us more like Jesus, thereby bringing glory to God our Father. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's another way of saying to become like Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's the perfect man, always carrying out his mission. I always do what pleases him, he says about his relationship with his Father God. And we please God when we live like Jesus did, become like him. 1 John 2:3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. There's an important warning too. John says it's a lie to claim we know Jesus but not obey his instructions. You can't please God that way. Crowds of people were following Jesus from the start of his public ministry. Some he specifically called to follow him, but for just 12 of them, there was a special invitation. Mark 3, verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. They were appointed to be with him, an apprenticeship with Jesus, watching, listening and learning from him, and by practical experience to preach and heal, bringing in the kingdom of God. And when Jesus was about to leave the earth and return to his Father after his resurrection, he expanded his authority to them from short-term missions into a lifelong, worldwide mission through all ages, continue his work to bring in his kingdom. Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Their mission was like Jesus' mission. And Jesus, the one they'd been with becoming like him, would continue with his disciples and all his followers till the end of the age. Christians then are called to share the good news like Jesus did in their every sphere of influence, wherever their front lines may be. Becoming like Jesus is another way of describing discipleship with him. Here's a definition. Discipleship was based on a call by Jesus. It involved personal allegiance to him, expressed in following him and giving him an exclusive loyalty. In at least some cases, it meant literal abandonment of home, business ties and possessions, but in every case, to put the claims of Jesus first, whatever the cost was demanded. Faith in Jesus and allegiance to him are what determine the fate of people at the Last Judgment. We become like Jesus and serve him effectively by following his example. Listen to what Jesus said at the Last Supper after he had washed the disciples' feet. John 13, verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. There's a blessing in serving others, taking the lowest place, doing the most menial acts, being humble just like Jesus. For him, as we heard earlier, humility was a mindset. And there's a similar encouragement from Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. You might be thinking, how can we get anywhere near becoming like the Lord Jesus, tempted and torn as we are? The simple fact is, Jesus knows what it's like to be a human being, and he set the example that we should follow. 1 Peter 2:21, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insult at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins on the cross in his body, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's not forget that the Holy Spirit lives in his followers, empowering us for fruitful living by changing us to be more like Jesus. Disciples of Jesus become like him by living the way he lived, having the same attitude of mind, following his life-giving example, and even suffering unjustly, like he did. Max Lucado writes, he understands. Why did Jesus grow weary in Samaria, disturbed in Nazareth, and angry in the temple? Why was he sleepy in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, sad at the tomb of Lazarus, and hungry in the wilderness? Why? Why did he endure all these feelings? Because he knew you'd feel them too. He knew you'd be weary, disturbed and angry. He knew you'd be sleepy, grief-stricken and hungry. He knew you'd face pain. If not the pain of the body, the pain of the soul, pain too sharp for any drug. He knew you'd face thirst, if not a thirst for water, at least a thirst for truth. And the truth we glean from the image of a thirsty Christ is he understands. And because he understands, we can come to him to become more like him. Jesus said, I've come that my followers may have life and have it to the full. The Saviour calls us to life, to live for him, wholehearted disciples, encouraging, urging, loving people to join us in the everyday journey to real life, becoming more like Jesus. Do you remember how Paul said we could follow Jesus in that passage from Philippians that Nicole read? He said, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. His followers are expected to become like him. We need to look at his life and live our lives with the same aims and priorities. The Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 4, in this world, we are like Jesus. In an article entitled, The Most Important Step in Becoming More Like Jesus, Mark Altrager says this, it's an extended quote, bear with him. We become like the one we behold in the world. We become like the one we behold in the Word. As we see him stretch out his hand in compassion to heal a leper, we see how we should be compassionate. When we see Jesus have mercy on the woman caught in adultery, we grow in mercy. As we observe Jesus resist the temptations of Satan to love the world, we learn to love the Lord our God as Jesus did. As we gaze on Jesus hanging on the cross and not revile his enemies but say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, we learn to trust our Heavenly Father and forgive our enemies. As we see Jesus submit to his Father's will, not my will but yours be done, we too learn to submit to our wills, to the Father's will. As we see Jesus caring for his mother while he hangs on the cross, we too learn to honour our parents and care for them. And as we gaze upon Jesus enduring all things because of his love for us, we too learn to endure the sins and failures of others out of love for them. As we see Jesus empty himself and make himself poor that he might make us rich, we in turn learn to empty ourselves and lay down our lives for others. As we watch Jesus welcome little children, we too learn how important children are to Jesus. We behold the glory of the Lord in all of Scripture. We behold the glory of his holiness and righteousness, the glory of his steadfast love and faithfulness. We see him keep his promises to his people and be true to his word. We behold him creating beauty and caring for widows and orphans. The Bible is filled with the glory of the Lord. The first step to becoming more like Christ is to behold his glory in his word. That's why it's so important for us to regularly take in Scripture. For as we read or listen to God's word, we behold Jesus, and the Holy Spirit transforms us into his image. That's the end of the quote. Do you want to become more like the Lord Jesus? How often do you read about him and the example of godly living that he set for us? No matter how often you come to Westview, that's no substitute for frequently reading about our Saviour's life in the writings of the Bible. As well as reading the Gospels for yourself, you can listen to them read, or maybe you could ask someone to read them with you and discuss them together with the aim of becoming more like Jesus. If you want to explore any of those possibilities or get other ideas, have a chat with JJ or Lee, or you could talk to me if you like. I think all of us here probably have heard these words from John's account of Jesus' life many times in chapter 8 of John. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus makes such a wonderful promise to his followers. Wonderful and amazing. Think about it. He is the light the world needs. And those who follow him, have the life-changing experience of always living in his light. And Jesus gives a reason for us, his disciples, receiving his light. It's in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And as we become like him, So we shine his light in the darkness, the light that cannot be defeated. Don't you think it's wonderful that we can be such a blessing to the world, reflecting our Saviour, becoming more like Jesus? In 1 John 2 verse 3, the Apostle tells us that true disciples live as Jesus did. His truth is seen in them. They've become like Jesus. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, John goes on, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The light of Jesus, the light of the world, is shining through you and you and you. And Jesus contrasts people who are becoming more like him by hearing and obeying his words with those who don't obey them in Luke chapter 6, 47. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And Jesus introduces that parable with a question in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Is Jesus asking you that question this morning? Let's have a few moments to reflect on that. We hope that everyone here has come to know Jesus and is eager, passionate even, about loving Jesus, doing what he says, following him closely and becoming more and more like him to the world. Let's pray a short prayer. Father, show us how to be more like your Son Jesus today, so that you will be glorified. Amen.